In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. In today's Gospel, our Lord presents us with a dilemma, if you will. We are created with both a body and a soul, but he tells us that we can't really serve both of them. We are all slaves, servants, if you will, if you don't like the term slave. But we all work for someone. We all work for something. And St. Paul distinguishes there's basically two paths we can choose. We can choose that path of the flesh and all those evils, or we can choose the path of the Spirit and all the virtues that it must practice. And so consequently, we have this duality within us, a body and a soul, a body which leads us towards sensuality, towards the flesh, towards all these sins of the body, and a soul which tries to elevate us and draw us closer to the virtues and to God. And today's Gospel, our Lord says, you can't serve two masters. You've got these two parts of you pulling in different directions, each wishing to control you, to lead you, to have you serve them. But you must make a choice. Will I follow my body, or will I follow my soul? Will I follow that which is most elevated in me, or that which is most base in me? The choice is mine. But I can't do both. I can't pretend to serve God and the world and my body. I can't plan on serving God and the devil. I can't serve both my soul and my body simultaneously. I must choose one master, one side or the other. And tragically, most of us, most of those around you, almost everyone in the world, if they pretend to any kind of religion, they are trying to sit on a fence in the middle. They want to say that they serve neither their spirit nor their body. They don't want to commit themselves for the eternal salvation of their soul, and they don't want to really commit themselves to the eternal damnation of their soul either. They want to remain in this middle state. They want to remain neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. And I wish just to remind you for the moment that our Lord says, I wish that you were either hot or cold. But because you are tepid, because you are lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. You are more disgusting to me because you are indifferent, because you won't make a choice, is more repulsive to God than actually choosing the evil. For some of the greatest sinners, God is able to turn around, but the indifferent, who will not commit themselves, are useless to him. He can do nothing with them. They have no convictions. They will defend nothing. And so they will be condemned. And now we're left back with those two choices. Since indifferentism is not really a choice, we must serve one of two masters, God or Mammon. We must serve our soul or our bodies. And most of us, because our soul can be so easily silenced, so easily forgotten, and our body cries out so loud and clear to us constantly, you just try and fast for a little while and you'll find out how your body rebels and lets you know. Your stomach starts growling, you grow faint and weak, Your body lets you know, I need attention. And so consequently, most of mankind chooses to serve the body. And the body is a very irrational tyrant. And all you really have to do is look at so many of the advertisements that are geared to make you buy something. You know the one with the potato chips or the snack food? They say you can't eat just one. Why is it that you can't eat just one? It's because your body will never tell you it is enough. And once you give in just a little bit, it will take you further than you ever imagined you would go. You open that great big package of snack food that says it's got, what, 20 servings on it. And I'm just going to have one. And before you know it, the whole bag is gone. What a pig I have become. And people do it over and over again, and they never stop to realize what a tyrant their body is. What an evil taskmaster it is. It never knows enough. And it always takes us beyond what we ever imagined we could possibly do. And I use food because it's a pretty easy one to use. We could use alcohol. We could use any of your passions. But we are a slave to something, to someone. And the saints have set out before us that we should become slaves of Christ. We should be followers of Christ. We should be slaves of the Blessed Mother. Slaves of the Sacred Heart, the Passion of Christ. We should become slaves to our souls. And in order to do that, we must choose to stop serving this terrible tyrant called our body, our flesh. The works of the flesh are all evil. The works of the soul are good. And we must make that choice. I'm going to serve my soul. I'm going to serve God, not my body. And with every servitude, there is some kind of mark that the servant bears that portrays who he belongs to. If you own animals, you tag them. You brand them. You mark them in some way so that everyone knows this creature belongs to me. And I look around today in this world we live in, especially in the hot days of summer. So many, I don't want to just pick on the women, but particularly, I find that offensive, but the men are just as guilty, just as repulsive in the way they mutilate their bodies. They want to pierce themselves. And what is a piercing for? What does a piercing indicate? Look back in history. Who do you see wearing the earring with a pierced ear? My imagination takes me back to a pirate. You see a pirate ship with a man with his pierced ear. And you say, why was the pirate have his ear pierced? Because he is an escaped slave. the pirate was a slave who escaped and became a pirate. And as proof of who owned him, his ears were pierced, to show that he belonged to someone else. He was not a free man. We pierce the nose of a hog for what reason? To keep it from rooting around in the mud. We pierce the nose of a bull so we can lead it here and there. But principally, we pierce the ears of animals. We tag them, we mark them to show that they are slaves. They are servants. And to indicate who their master is. That is what our Western history teaches. It's what it shows. And now I look around and I see people not with one piercing or two, but their whole ear up and down. Their noses, their tongues, their lips. There is no end. And I say, why? It's to indicate their slavery to someone. And I say, to who? Who is their master? Who are they indentured to? Who are they serving? Is it not their bodies, their flesh, and ultimately the devil? Is that not the mark of the devil that they have all up and down their ears and in their nose and tongues and cheeks and lips? And I won't even mention the other places. Are they not signed themselves as servants of their flesh, of their body? And remember what I said, this body tells you, or what I told you about this body, that it is a tyrant. It never knows enough. How you can't eat just one? Well, they can't get themselves pierced just once. And the tattoos. Why do we tattoo animals? Why do we put brands on cattle? Is it not to indicate their slavery, their owner, that they belong to someone? And what of all these tattoos? All this, quote, body art that they put on themselves. What is it but not to indicate that they are servants of their flesh? They give in to all these evils of their body. And ultimately it is the evils of Satan. This is what they have chosen. This is the master they have chosen to serve. And it becomes more and more manifest by the lack of clothing that they wear, the mutilations that they perform upon their bodies. And they think that somehow this is beautiful. That somehow God did not make them beautiful enough and they have to tear up His creation. When God created you and when you were first born, He forgot to put holes in your ears. He forgot to put holes in your noses. In your tongue, your lips. He didn't know what he was doing. He made a mistake, and so we're correcting his mistake. God didn't know what he was doing because he didn't paint pictures all over our bodies. And so we have to remedy it. That's what it all says to me. I don't know about you, But I'm pretty sure, certain that that's what it indicates to God. And if you know a little bit about the demonic, you know that the devils hate us. The devils hate our bodies. Because our bodies are made in the image and likeness of God. We are created in the image of God. And the devils hate God. And therefore they hate that image that represents God. And what do the devils want to do to destroy that image? If not to pierce it, to mutilate it, to disfigure it in any way they possibly can. This is what the world says to me. This is what the world shows me with all their, quote, body art. They have chosen to serve their flesh. They have chosen to serve the devil. And what do they have in store for them but eternal damnation? And my suggestion is that we turn away from that. We choose not to serve our bodies, not to serve the devils, but we choose to serve God and our immortal soul. When we choose to serve God and our soul, we still take care of our body. We give it sufficient food, sufficient clothing, sufficient shelter. But we demand that it not overreach its bounds. Our soul demands that the body take just one and no more. It demands constant moderation of this flesh. When we serve our soul, we decorate our soul with the graces of God, with those graces, those virtues that St. Paul mentions in today's epistle. We clothe our soul with all of these things. And when it comes to a conflict, when we must choose either to serve my soul or to serve my body, we should never hesitate. Let the body suffer. Let the body even die if necessary. I must serve God. These are the convictions, the thoughts, the sentiments of the saints, of the martyrs. You can do whatever you want to my body, torture it however much you like, in any manner that you like. You will not force me to deny God, to turn away from Him, to stop serving Him. He is my master. And our Lord says, don't worry about this body. If you seek first the kingdom of heaven and its justice, if you strive to get in by that narrow gate with your whole being, take care of your soul first, I'll give you everything else you need for your body. Have a little bit of faith. Have some confidence. Trust me. I made your body. I can take care of it. Seek first this kingdom of heaven. And I will clothe you. I will feed you. I will shelter you. Have nothing to fear. Sanctify your soul first. And all this rest will be provided you. Those pagans that do not know God, those pagans that only serve their flesh, they are the ones that are worried about what they're going to eat, what they're going to wear, where they're going to sleep. Not those who trust in God. Those who serve God. know that their Heavenly Father will take care of them. He knows what they need, and He will provide all that they need. Probably not in superabundance as that tyrant your body would wish, but He will have enough. And as an example, our Lord gives us, look at the birds of the air. Do you see them worrying about what they're going to eat? Do you see them out plowing fields and sowing seed and reaping the harvest and putting it into barns? And yet, your Heavenly Father, they don't do any of these things, but God still feeds them. And He doesn't mention it, but look at how beautiful those birds are. How magnificent they are. How wonderfully they are clothed. God takes care of them. And they don't have to fret and serve their bodies or the devil. They don't have to mutilate themselves. Their souls are lifted up to God. Why do we worry about what we're going to wear? How we're going to appear before our fellow men? Look at the lilies of the field. How beautiful they are. And yet their lifespan is just a moment. Today they're in full blossom. Tomorrow they're cut down and thrown into the fire. They wither up and die. Your soul is worth so much more than them. He says even that these flowers are more beautiful than King Solomon in all his glory, with his richest and finest garments. These flowers are more beautiful. And God creates them. And what do you think you can possibly do to improve upon what God has given them? Your soul, when it is in the state of sanctifying grace, is more beautiful than all these other things. And if you serve God, if you serve your soul, it really doesn't matter how old you are. It really doesn't matter how expensive clothing you can wear. A soul that is in love with God shows forth even in their body a radiance that is most beautiful. A beauty that mankind has yet been able to capture. It doesn't require makeup and mascara and all kinds of ornamentation. It is a simple and pure beauty that is beyond expression. This comes from a soul that is serving God. And even in old age, as the body withers up and dies, there is still a beauty in that old age. Contrary to what the world would have you believe, that old people are ugly and that your only chance for beauty is in your youth. On the contrary, there is nothing more beautiful than an old person who is ready for death, who has spent their life serving God. There is a sense of peace, of calm, a radiance that feeds their soul from deep within. And this is something that our children should be taught to see, to appreciate, to aspire to, rather than have them think that they themselves are the height of beauty in their youth. They should see the culmination of beauty in a virtuous life, in one that has served God. And just the opposite is true for those who have chosen to serve that other master, their body and the devil. Their souls become ugly. Their souls are killed. They're walking around spiritually dead. Their souls are dead on the inside. And it doesn't matter how much they paint their face, decorate their hair, paint their bodies with tattoos, or put diamonds and jewels in their ears and all over their body with piercings. They are ugly. And there's nothing they can do to remove that ugliness. They are truly the living dead. Though they walk and breathe and talk, there is nothing uglier than sin. There is nothing that destroys the beauty of a person's soul and body more than sin. For when our soul is dead, it shows forth within the face, within the body. The body rebels. And it shows forth that ugliness that we so desperately try to cover up. And I would tell you very simply, there is no need to cover it up. If your soul is ugly, if your soul is dead, uncover it. Look at it. Show it to the priest in the confessional. Have him wash that ugliness away. And start over again. Have him restore life to that dead soul. And choose a different master. Choose now to serve God and never to serve that body again. Choose rather to have this body die so that the soul may live, rather than have the body kill the soul and have both the soul and the body to die and to suffer an eternal torment in hell. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.